Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome. Welcome to Warriors Wrap-Up.
And off Curry takes another three. It's up and good! He's got 62!
On 95.7, the game.
Pass to Wiseman off the pick, and he finds it for a dunk.
Jam!
Oh, by Oubre! He caught it right at the restricted area and slammed it home with a left hand.
Here's John Dickinson and Ryan Covey.
Draymond secures the ball, dribbles it up the floor, comes left wing, feeds Wiggins off the dribble, steps into a triple. It's good! Wiggins buried it. He's got a 27-point half. And the Warriors lead 64-46. They're singing the blues right now in Memphis, Tennessee.
And Andrew Wiggins would go on to score 40. That's right, 40 for Andrew Wiggins. And the Warriors get another one of their more impressive victories of the season tonight in Memphis as they blow out the Grizzlies. That's right, Covey. I'm calling it a blowout, even though it wound up 116-103. But the Dubs led by as many as 25. Positive contributions from Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole, Damian Lee, Kevon Looney, all extremely efficient. Draymond Green had a purpose to his game. The Warriors were defending early, and they got it done tonight without Stephen Curry. Impressive, impressive stuff.
Yeah, man. And, you know, I felt like before the game this team was going to show up tonight. They did in a big way. And as much as we're going to throw out the platitudes, and rightfully so, for the performance offensively for the Golden State Warriors tonight, what about their performance defensively tonight? The way that they switched, rallied to the basketball, closed out on shooters. They really bottled Valanciunas up, who we thought had the potential to eat them up. This was a big-time defensive effort for me tonight, and they never – once they had this game by the short and curlies, they weren't going to let go. They were not going to let Memphis get back in it, and the Warriors were just a step ahead all night. Great team win tonight.
Yeah, great team win tonight. 888-957-9570. Warriors wrap up here on 95.7 The Game. And you said it. I mean, the defense was there early. The Warriors were able to score off of turnovers in this ball game tonight. 30 points off the 21 Memphis Grizzlies turnovers. And the attitude was there for the Warriors from the jump, and this was one of those games where Draymond Green didn't score 2 points, but he did everything else, and it was an engaged Draymond Green from the start. I think the other big key to this one for the Warriors, when you look at it, is yes, they had the defense early, and that was huge. They also made three-pointers early, which I think kind of put the Grizzlies on their heels a little bit. Like, whoa, this team's not supposed to be doing that. This team struggles to shoot the basketball from time to time, even when Stephen Curry's in there, when you're talking about the others in play. But they came out hot in that first quarter. Wiggins knocked down 2 for 3. Poole knocked down 2 for 3. Damian Lee was 1 for 1 in that frame. And the Warriors kind of jumped the Grizzlies up at that point, 34-26. And then it was a big second quarter as well for the Warriors to go up 67-48 at the break. But if you're going to double up a team in terms of three-point makes like the Warriors did tonight, you're going to win a lot of basketball games. The big question going in was, how do you offset the lack of offense from not having Stephen Curry? Well, Andrew Wiggins going for 40. When we didn't even talk about Andrew Wiggins on Warriors Live is the most Andrew Wiggins That's the most Andrew Wiggins feat of this 2020-21 season.
Yeah, it's so funny. I mean, we talked about Poole. We talked about Draymond. We talked about Kelly Oubre being in the lineup. We talked about reserves. Didn't talk about Andrew Wiggins. And let's face it, on a night where Steph Curry isn't out there, Andrew Wiggins is your most talented offensive weapon. And well, he came to play tonight. Good for him. A really nice moment. And you know what? Wiggins, he's just quietly been such a solid contributor for this basketball team this year. The one thing I did mention in the pregame is that he gets credit for me for gutting it out, being available, playing through some nicks along the way, and being pretty damn consistent at both ends of the floor. So good on him. A big-time performance. The only thing for me, I checked the boxes tonight. I had the Dubs winning big. I had them winning, or you know, I had them covering for sure, and I thought that they could absolutely win this game. And I had Jordan Poole having a nice night scoring. He came a little short, though. I gave, 28, 29, 25 for Jordan Poole. Still a really nice night at the office. So I'm 15 shots.
But you hit the over on my 23.5. So that's all that matters. I gave it, you didn't have to hit the 28. As long as you get the over on the 23.5, that pays. And I do have to give you a lot of credit, because I'm gonna let the listener inside a little bit. We had a little pre-show call. I don't know. We were on the air, 3:30 today? We had a little pre-show call probably about 2 o'clock where we were going over, all right, what are we going to talk about? Boy, it sounds like Steph's for sure out. Kelly Oubre's doubtful. And I'm going to give you some credit, because I pretty much at that point, with thinking Kelly Oubre was not playing at that point, in addition to Steph Curry, I was like, the Warriors got no shot tonight. This is going to be a struggle. You're probably going to have to start Nico Mannion and Jordan Poole. And defensively, that's just not going to be good enough. And the Grizzlies like to hit the Warriors inside. You kind of said, wait, what do you mean, wait a minute, JD? Like, Memphis isn't all that. And there's a path to victory for the Warriors. So you were up on this one from even 90 minutes before the show, and you kind of talked me down off the ledge a little bit. I will admit, though, when Kelly Oubre, and I want to give Kelly Oubre the credit here, when Kelly Oubre got upgraded to questionable, I thought, well, the only reason you'd upgrade a dude that's doubtful to questionable is if he's going to play. And right. At that point, I kind of thought, and we talked about this on Warriors Live, I didn't have the Warriors winning. I feel like you had the Warriors winning this game. Like, you thought they had a good shot regardless. And when Oubre was going to play, I feel like you had him winning the game. I'm not going to go that far. I'm not even looking for any credit on this. It all goes to you, my man. But when Oubre decided he was going to play, to me, that's what sort of set the tone for this night wasn't going to be a one-off. I'm giving some credit to Kelly Oubre, because yeah, when Kelly Oubre steps out there, that allows Steve Kerr to start Jordan Poole and basically play him in the Steph spot, where Draymond can be the facilitator that he is. But with Oubre out there, you've got Oubre and Wiggins, your two long wing defenders. And at that point, it doesn't even matter to me what Kelly Oubre does offensively. Just having his body type out there, he started on Ja Morant, who you didn't want to get loose and probably would have got loose if it had been Jordan Poole and Nico Mannion out there. I want to give, because we're the platitudes go all over the place tonight for the dudes that scored and scored efficiently and defended. Oubre's availability, to me, makes this game possible, because it allowed Steve Kerr to come up with some kind of a semblance of a kind of half-normal rotation that allowed him to succeed.
Yeah, it allowed him to basically put Poole in Steph's spot, a guy that until, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and Jordan Poole wasn't even in the rotation. So, you know, shout out to Damian Lee. When you stay ready, you don't got to get ready. He was ready. And, yeah, Kelly Oubre, that kind of set the tone for the mood tonight, too. Like, Kelly Oubre is going to gut it out. Thus, as a squad, we are going to gut it out. And that's like when you start to talk about what's the identity of your basketball team. And they're a little short on firepower. And, you know, when you're going up against the big boys of the West, you know, and even around the NBA, like, that'll catch up to you on nights. But for the most part, even throughout the first half of the season, this entire season, when this team gets knocked down, they find a way to get back up. And that's kind of been their identity. And so, look, Kelly Oubre showing up tonight, bringing his lunch pail, being out there to defend Ja Morant, that helped settle everything down. And then everybody else just kind of fell in line and was ready to play tonight. They showed up. So, and I also feel like they wanted to make sure they got the job done and had a good effort for their leader, Steph Curry, who wasn't playing tonight, because we know he's been a little miff lately at the way the team's been going, and then him getting hurt in Houston. Just I felt like this was a night for the other guys to step up and say, hey, we got you back, Steph. Don't trip. Get well. We'll see you back out here soon. We got this covered. And yeah, man, like, straight up, Memphis ain't all that. What, 18 and 20 coming in? You know, 18 and 19 coming in? They ain't all that. So shout out to the Dubs. They showed up. And for me, JD, this game was always going to hinge on the Warriors' outside game versus – the Grizzlies inside game, right? And when the Warriors, I know they ended up, what, 38% from three, but they hit a ton of big threes in the first half. Wiggins was knocking down everything. When this game was decided, the Warriors outside game throttled the Grizzlies inside game and that kind of back and forth. And that was the difference.
Yeah, you look at it, it winds up being a 21-point difference in terms of three-point field goals for the Warriors as they hit 15 to the Grizzlies 8. The Grizzlies did get their typical right around 60 points in the paint, but it wasn't impactful, and Valanciunas put no imprint on this game whatsoever. Kevon Looney outplayed him and outscored him even, 11-10. This had the makings, in my mind, of, uh-oh, this is one of those games where maybe Valanciunas ends up with a 20-16 or something like that on, you know, 9 of 10 shooting and really is a problem, and they're hitting the offensive glass. Warriors weren't having it. I'll tell you the other thing I think that Oubre playing does is it got Draymond going. Like and we talked about that too, where, all right, Jordan Poole's playing. Draymond wants Jordan Poole to get his run and keep playing at the level that he's played at these last five or six games. I think you almost made Draymond believe that this team had a shot to win tonight, and then he went out there like Draymond does and rose to the occasion and help the Warriors ultimately put a thumping on the Memphis Grizzlies. Final score winds up 116-103. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. And oh, by the way, Andrew Wiggins, yeah, no expectation for him to go get 40 with Steph Curry out, and then he goes and he gets you 40 with Steph Curry out. Just the way Andrew Wiggins likes it. Don't ask him to do it more often or more frequently, but I think you got to give the Warriors and you got to give Wiggins a lot of credit for, you know, he was hot knocking down the threes early and he was able to carry it through.
Yeah, and he just looked like he was in the mood tonight, right? He felt real comfortable out there. And I mean, we could just, you know, chuck the old rat on the table. The Grizzlies defended like crap tonight. I mean, the Warriors, yeah, they over-rotated, and the Warriors, they made him pay, always making that extra pass, ended up with 31 assists. I know they showed the stat on the broadcast, you know, during the Steve Kerr era, Warriors as a team have, you know, 115 more 30 assist games than the next closest team. I mean, it's ridiculous. But they were working the offense tonight, and it was a lot of different guys getting involved. But Andrew Wiggins' ability to, A, knock down the three, but also, you know, attacking the paint. He had some nice putback dunks, and just the way the guys were cutting to the basket, you know, Draymond's vision finding him. He did hit my prop over 10 assists tonight, hit the 13, so shout out to Draymond for that as well. This was a good team win. And when you don't have Steph Curry, you need to spread out that burden, right? I mean, Damian Lee popping off for 21. Damian Lee was probably the player of the game, right? And we barely even mentioned him so far. Damian Lee played his ass off tonight. So there were a lot of guys that came correct, and that's what you need when you don't have Steph Curry. So good win. Now you get a chance to get greedy tomorrow. Maybe Steph comes back. And you know what, JD? Now that they got the win, I don't know, they might even err on the side of caution and not play Steph tomorrow night. I'd rather they play Steph and just go for the sweepy sweep. Put a little distance between you and Memphis. Why not?
Yeah, and it's kind of gone back and forth, the tone surrounding Stephen Curry over the last couple of days. Steve Kerr did say after the game, very doubtful for Steph tomorrow. So I'm along those lines of, hey, I want him to get a split. You'd love to get greedy, and hey, get greedy with the guys that played tonight. But yeah, I would think at this point you get out of there with the one that you needed, and I would be more inclined, as much as I'm all in on trying to make sure you get one, almost to the point of obsession. Once you get the one, I'm actually totally cool with, all right, let's give Steph Saturday, Sunday, Monday, make sure he's ready to roll against Philadelphia on Tuesday when you're back inside Chase Center and ready to roll for a busy week where you got the Sacramento Kings and the Atlanta Hawks, coming in, a couple of games there. Like, 22, the one thing you know is that is your worst-case scenario, you're still going to be 500 even a week from now, when you go into that stretch.
Yeah, and the Kings, I know they've suffered some personnel losses lately with Bagley but they went in and
which
beat
helps
Boston.
Them.
Yeah, I know, right? They went in and beat
2-0
Boston
without
tonight.
Him now.
Yeah, I know, right? They went in and won in Beantown tonight. Boston's really been struggling, but yeah, that's just going to be a big week. And look, there's still a lot of basketball left in this season, and that's where I give Steve Kerr credit. Our job, JD, of course, is to assess the day-to-day. I mean, that's quite literally when we're doing the pre and the post game. We talk about the game coming up and the game that was, right? So we tend to it could maybe come across sometimes as being a prisoner of the moment. Steve Kerr, while he answers the questions and fields the lineup on the day-to-day, I feel like he's got a pretty good grasp on the big picture. And what I mean is, even if it means, not being able to have a guy available for a night here, a night there, he's always cognizant of I need him for the majority of the games, not any one game of 72, having most of the games for 72. And if that means holding him out an extra day here, resting him for the Phoenix game there, it sucks, and you hate to not have him available. But as I said in the pregame, at the end of the day, it's probably the right thing to do. It's frustrating because, you want to see him out there playing.
Yeah, it is. And look, I fully admit, and I alluded to this a moment ago, like I am that guy where it's like, okay, he can't play tonight. And it's like, all right. And we talked about it on the pregame too. Like, hey, if he can play, and it was, Steve Kerr told the media before the game, hey, Steph wants to play, but we're holding him out. Oh, okay, fine. But I am that guy like this where I say, okay, you're going to hold him out tonight, but if you lose tonight and he wants to play tomorrow, then damn it, you better let him play tomorrow. I'm also the guy that goes, well, once you win the first one, you know what? If you don't want to play the second one, that's fine. Like, I fully admit, that's just how I roll with this thing. But
yeah.
It does sound like Stephen Curry wasn't going to play regardless. The Warriors could have lost by 30, and it sounds like he still would have been very doubtful going into the game tomorrow night.
Yeah, and look, it makes sense. The good news is these guys stepped up. And can we just – I want to know if Warriors fans feel like Jordan Poole has officially arrived. Because, look, when he kind of walked that line for me of playing – reckless, and then all of a sudden it transitioned into playing fearless. I tweeted it during the game. It's like poor people are crazy and rich people are eccentric, right? Like Jordan Poole, last year it looked like he was playing just straight up reckless. Now it looks like he's playing fearless. And I guess the difference probably is, do you hit your threes? Because if you hit your threes, then all of a sudden you look like you're out there, doing big things, knocking down shots, getting up and down the floor. And so I think that can be, it'll kind of skew the way you look at things a bit. And look, that's part of the deal. You got to hit your threes. But I feel like Jordan Poole is a dude that always he's a guy that plays with a lot of confidence. He believes in himself. You could tell that he wants the ball in his hands. He's in a good run. And is this, hey, he's just feeling good right now. He's kind of going through a hot streak. The Nets looking pretty big. Or is it just, hey, this guy took his lumps last year, swallowed his pride, went down to the G League, worked on his game, and now the game's starting to slow down for him. He's gotten better just as a basketball player with the coaching that the Warriors have given him and just being around these guys in practice when they've been able to and just coming up in the league. Like, there's an opportunity here for Jordan Poole, I think, to be a really nice scorer in the NBA, and have a pretty good career. I know I don't want to get too caught up in it, but, you still need to show more. But again, there's just not a lot of guys for me, JD, at his age that can just roll in and start at the point for the Golden State Warriors and fill it up for 25. Like, to me, that alone is special. There's not a lot of dudes that can do that. If they did, there'd be a lot more dudes in the NBA that would, that we would consider good players, right? So, I don't know. I think Jordan Poole's on his way, man.
Well, and he's providing an element that the Warriors haven't had. I want to see it for the rest of the year. And look, I know he's going to have his ups
totally
and downs.
Fair.
I'm not saying he's got to play at this level the rest of the year the way he has in the last six, seven games. But you know, if he has 14, 15, 20 games at the level that he's played the last six and has a few games here or there where he struggles, I mean, that's only natural. But I do think he has to go out and firmly entrench himself into the role that he currently has between now and the end of the season. I mean, he could go out and badly slump in the next eight games, and we could say, all right, well, what's the answer to that question at that point?
Right.
So, no, he does have to keep proving it, but he's on the right track. I mean, there's no doubt he's on the right track. And here's the way I kind of try to figure out how I want to answer the question. Like, would Jordan Poole be guaranteed a spot in next year's rotation if the Warriors go out and add a couple of vets and really load up like they're going to be a championship-level contender? Would he be guaranteed a spot? I think, to me, the answer would be no. Now, if he plays at this level between now and the end of the season, then I think the answer to that question would probably be yes.
A resounding hell yes, I would say, actually.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I think he has a path to earning himself a rotation spot for next year, but he still has to go out and do it. He hasn't already done it just based on the last six or seven games, but the last six or seven games, he's been fantastic, and he gets credit for that.
Look, man, if Brad Wanamaker could be in an NBA rotation, you know, with all due respect to the Kent Bazemores and the Michael Mulders of the world, if those guys can be in an NBA rotation for a team with playoff aspirations, Jordan Poole, just by virtue of his ability to put the ball in the basket, certainly could be that dude. So I think he's on his way. And look, let's just be real for a second. Isn't that the hope when you draft somebody in the first round that they're going to be on your team for many years to come and be a rotational piece? I almost feel like, you know, the perception around Jordan Poole is if he's good, it's found money. It's like, no, man, he used a first round pick on the guy. I expect the Warriors to develop him. I expect this pick to be validated. It's either that or you made the wrong pick and he's a bust and you screwed up. Like, he's not a lottery pick, but he's still a first rounder in the NBA. Like, that means to me, you sure as hell should be in an NBA rotation. So, you know, and last year it was rough. I mean, look who he was playing with. It's like a lot of young players on bad basketball teams. It can really hinder their development. But the good news is there was enough, you know, organizational stability, culture, whatever you want to call it. And I do give him a lot of credit for taking those lumps. I mean, you know, first round pick, starting with the big club, and then ended up down in the G League for a stint. And I think we could all tell that the game was moving too fast for him. But look, man, he's got quickness. He goes around guys. He's got handle. Certainly, he's got game straight up. So I think there's certainly a path to him being a part of that rotation next year, and not just like the 10th guy, not being, you know, next year's Michael Mulder. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
no, being, I'm talking eight. I'm talking in the top eight.
Exactly. Yeah. Be part of that. You know, you're part of that second unit. You're part of that. Let's go out there and not just, you know, hold the line and hopefully not give up the lead. Let's go out there and extend the damn lead like the Dubs used to do when they were at their best with their second unit.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Covey asked the question. I'll throw it out. Has Jordan Poole arrived for the Golden State Warriors? He goes for 25 in the start for Stephen Curry, 34 minutes. Andrew Wiggins goes for a Warriors high 40. The last time Wiggins scored 40 against the Warriors in the early going of 2019-20, back on, I think it was November the 8th of 2019, he scored 20, and that game was in Minneapolis, and the Timberwolves beat the Warriors on that night. A lot to forget. It was funny. I remembered he did it. I thought he did it in January, and then there's so much that's been scrambled by last year. I know I've talked to you, and I know you did a handful of the post-game shows with me last year, and I think you did a couple when I was away last year. I do have a little bit of a PTSD from last year doing the 61 post-game shows. Like, a lot of last year is just one big blob in my brain, and as you know, I mean, I do tend to remember odd things like that, but so much of it I think I've intentionally maybe omitted.
Yeah, Yeah, well, when you have PTSD, you know, you try and block things out. You try and go to a happy place, just forget that they ever happened. I don't even remember what I had for lunch yesterday. So the stuff that you remember kind of blows my mind. Either way, shout out to Two-Way Wigs getting wiggy with it tonight. I mean, dropping Earl Stevens, dropping 40 water on him tonight? I didn't see that coming. And I think that's good. I mean, you nailed it, partner. Like, we didn't expect
that's
that
the
tonight.
Point.
Yeah, we didn't
that's
call him out and say, need you tonight, Wiggy. He's like, no,
and
no,
don't
no.
ask him to do it tomorrow because
no,
he'll get his 17
no.
tomorrow because he's going to get his 17 tomorrow on well, 7 of 13, and that's going to be the way it is.
Well, I'll say this, though, and I know we're up against it, but, I mean, in the month of March, he's shooting 52% from three-point range. So he hit the skids for a while. There's no doubt. I mean, the three-point shot certainly eluded him. He shot 27% in the month of February. I mean, we're what, you know, 7-8 games in now into the month of March, and he's at 52%. So safe to say Wiggy's found his touch again. So it's good to see because they need it, man.
All right, he's Ryan Covey. I'm John Dickinson. Coming up, we'll hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr. We'll also get to who's hot and who's not, and we'll continue. Warriors wrap-up. We'll look ahead to tomorrow night as well. Dubs beat the Grizz 116-103. You heard it all right here on 95.7 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Off the pick. Hesitation drive. Locked up. Feeds it for Lee. He'll take it down to the foul line. One-hander. Too strong. Looney tipped the rebound. Loose on the floor. Looney goes for it. Hands off to Lee. Lays it in. He went right between the legs of Valanciunas on the handoff. And Damian Lee scored.
That's the play of the night.
Most creative assist of the year.
Now, back to Warriors Wrap-Up with John Dickinson and Ryan Covey on 95.7 The Game.
That's the assist of the year for Kevon Looney. What an incredible play on a real strong night for Kevon Looney as he goes 5 of 6 from the floor, scores 11 points, a part of the Dubs victory over the Grizzlies tonight. 116-103. Andrew Wiggins goes for 40. Jordan Poole, 25 in the start in place of Stephen Curry. Damian Lee, 21. Mentioned Kevon Looney and his nice ball game tonight. And the Warriors outmake Memphis 15-8 from three-point range. And all of a sudden, as much as the Warriors have struggled, They've won a couple here to get themselves to 22-0 on this trip.
Yeah, man, Kevon Looney right there dropping dimes like he was born to snitch on somebody, and that was a hell of a pass. And that's it, right? I mean, the whole deal, JD, when we were languishing in a stretch where the Warriors went 1-5 against elite competition. What were we talking about every night? Hey, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and don't trip. It's not an oncoming train. It's the schedule easing up. But that only goes so far as the team's ability to make hay in that situation. And you know what? You beat a downtrodden Rockets team. Well done. And then now you went into Memphis shorthanded as all get out, and you didn't just beat Memphis tonight. You beat the brakes off them. So I give the Warriors a ton of credit. We've seen this time and time again with this basketball team, their ability to bounce back. And guess what? Like, these are the kind of games for me, JD, that were giving Steve Kerr's assertion that he felt like, you know, the things were going to really turn and, a nice streak was always in the works, in the offing. Like, this team's got something to them. Things have to click, no doubt, like with any team. But there is something kind of fun, kind of special, kind of tight about this Warriors team. And, you know, hopefully we'll look back at that 1-5 stretch and be like, hey, that was the time they did the soul searching and realized we need to up that bar on a nightly basis, tricking off a few games in February. Because, I mean, if you look ahead, Jay, Memphis, Philly, Sac. I know the Hawks have been playing well since they made the coaching change, but then you got the Bulls, you got the Raptors. Like, they've got a lot of winnable games in the second half of the season. You play OKC three times. Like, Cleveland. I mean, there are a ton of winnable games on the back half of this schedule. And if this team starts to gel, which I think that's, hey, look, it's a plausible scenario to say the very least. I mean, I think we can acknowledge that. So I'm excited to see what the second half has to bring. And look, they've weathered the storm, the worst part of the season, and they're two games over 500. So lock in and buckle up, and let's get some guys back healthy, and let's roll.
Yeah, and to your point about them being kind of tight-knit, I mean, just look at the games that they've played without Curry when Curry was out due to an injury. I mean, look at the game in Charlotte, right? He's not feeling well before the game. I mean, that was – the Warriors basically played the same game they played tonight in terms of competitiveness,
sure,
in Charlotte, and then let that game get away down the stretch. So, I mean, you go out and you play without Steph and you are in the game. I don't care who you're in the game against. That's impressive. I mean, and it does show a little bit something more about your squad. Now, I throw out the game against Phoenix before the break. I mean, that was a game where they quick kicked. You know, it was third down, and it was the old – you remember Randall Cunningham? Third and 8.
80-yard punt? Come on.
Yeah, third and 18 at the 5. Shotgun snap to Cunningham in his own end zone. Oh, and he's going to punt it 80 yards down the field. Quick kick, yo! Quick kick. Warriors quick kick that game against Phoenix before the All-Star break. But
91-yard punt, by the way. I undersold him. It was a 91-yard punt, JD. So my bad, Randall Cunningham.
That's a good one.
We both did. Yeah. One of the all-timers. But you get credit. I mean, you get credit for bringing it in those adverse situations, and the Warriors have done it a couple of times now, and yeah, they let that game in Charlotte get away, and this is exactly what you wanted to see coming off of the 1-5. It's all right, you need to go to Memphis and make sure you win at least one, and that's if, you know, thinking Steph Curry's going to be playing both games. Well, now you've done it, and Curry didn't play in the ball game tonight, and so you're starting to get back on track, and to your point, two more games against the Kings, two more against the Grizzlies, you got three more against the Thunder. You haven't played the Pelicans yet, so you got three against them. You got the one more game against the Timberwolves as well, and then two more against the Rockets after you played the first game of that season series on Wednesday night. So there's a lot of winnable games, and teams in the East. And so if the Warriors can just hold right around 500, a couple of games over like they are right now, they are going to be able to make a little bit of a mini push. And you know what? They may actually be set up to look like they're coming together if they have their health. Like, if they have their health, Curry's good to go. Draymond's engaged. Wiggins is going to be Wiggins. I'm not even going to say, oh, if Wiggins could do this or that. He'll have another game like this tonight, but it's going to be when nobody's expecting it to happen. But maybe now you got a little bit of an answer off the bench that you didn't have earlier in the season with Jordan Poole's ability to score, and that could enhance or stabilize a run down the stretch. I'm not saying it's going to get you to the sixth seed. It may not. Still remains to be seen. But this Warriors team, you know, tonight is the kind of night that just it validates everything you're trying to do, even if it gets a little bit off track from time to time, right? Like, we came on the air thinking there's been so many almost mixed messages. You're playing the young guys. Are you not playing the young guys? Are you trying to win? No, we're not chasing wins. Like, when you win a game like today, it allows you to kind of get away with whatever the heck you want to do in terms of a plan and try to have the best of both worlds.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, winning is a great cure-all. It's a great deodorant, right? And it certainly – it can't be denied. I'll put it to you like this. Regardless of how you feel about the job they're doing with player development or chasing win, like, when you win, you get all the benefit of the doubt. Like, that's always the right move. Unless, of course, you're the Jets winning that game against the Rams last year, which actually gave you a worse draft pick, and then you can't get Trevor Lawrence. That's the only time where winning's a bad thing. Other than that, winning is always the right decision. And when you do win, you have flexibility at that point too, right? So I think, you know, you give credit to Steve Kerr for, you know, keeping these guys engaged and keeping them focused tonight. Obviously, the guys went out and executed a heck of a game plan. Bottom line, JD, and I've kind of iterated this to Warriors fans during this season, you should be excited for, like, what comes next, right? Because say what you want about how James Wiseman's rookie season is gone. I think the dude's going to be a damn good NBA player, and he's going to be here for a long time, and he's only going to get better. You still got a few years left of the prime of Curry and Clay and Draymond. By the way, you already went to 5 finals and won 3 titles, so that should hold you for a while. But the good news is these guys aren't done winning. Andrew Wiggins, he's young. He's under contract for a couple more years. Jordan Poole, his ascension in the text line, by the way, is about split. Some are a little bit reluctant to anoint him having arrived. Others are like me, prisoner of the moment, saying, oh, yeah, this kid's ready to go. But there's a lot of things to be excited about heading into the future of this basketball team. And, oh, yeah, you got a beautiful building that'll have fans back in it soon enough. You've got a great coach, terrific ownership. Like, the next chapter for this basketball team is going to be really exciting to cover and watch. And it's not like, you know, we know that the days of them being the runaway favorite to win the championship are gone. That's okay. Like, you're not that's not realistic anyway. That's NBA nirvana. That's not NBA reality. This is more NBA reality, building this thing back up, trying to get back to the top. Like, that's why we love sports, man. It's the journey. So this is a good time to be a Warriors fan. It's a fun era, and I think they're headed in the right direction, and I'm looking forward to seeing them do it.
All right, we'll hear from Steve Kerr in just a moment. Let's get to Eric and Milbrae. Eric joins us here on Warriors Wrap-Up. Hey, Eric.
Yeah, what's up, fellas? Yeah, really impressive performance tonight. Didn't expect that. I thought it would be a close, grinded outside game, which Memphis normally succeeds, especially at home. But I didn't expect the Warriors to go in there, punch them in the mouth, and really, really pumped about what I saw. Wiggins, that's the problem with him, man. You never know what you're going to get with this guy. He's like a box of chocolates, man. This guy, you know, was the number one pick, and he shows flashes, but he's not consistent. But when he's on, this dude is box office, and you saw it again tonight. This Jordan Poole, man, ever since he came back from the G League, this guy's been on a tear. I don't know if this is what we're going to expect consistently, but whatever he's doing, keep this guy in the rotation, because I think this guy's balling right now like Oubre. He's got his confidence back, and ever since he came back from the G League, he's on automatic right now. Love with him. And D. Lee, good to see him, because he's out of the rotation, and it's good to see him bust out tonight. So this was an unexpected win tonight, fellas, especially with Memphis coming off a very good win against the hot Miami team the other night, holding them, I think, what's under 90 points to the Warriors to put a clinic on them. Didn't expect that. And you guys mentioned this stretch of games here. Tomorrow night, obviously, is probably going to be difficult to win sweep ideal. But we got an easy up schedule coming up here, and they really can make a run for it. So I'm really confident in what I've seen. We got through the difficult aspect of the schedule. And am I just a delusional Warrior fan? Or do I expect a playoff spot? Because they're only, what, 2 games behind Dallas. What do you guys foresee? Because I think they can make a run here and get probably the 7th seed or even higher with the way the schedule pans out the rest of the season. I'll take your thoughts on that. Thanks.
Thanks, Eric. I mean, the 7th seed is absolutely on the table. The 6th seed, we'll see. I mean, they're definitely not eliminated from it. I mean, you look at the standings. I mean, they could get to the 6. It's probably, but they're going to have to play more consistently than they did in the first half if they're going to have a shot at getting to the 6. I'm looking at it right now. Portland 24-16. So they've got at this point a 3-game cushion on the Warriors as far as the 6 spot goes. But no, I mean, 7 is on the table for sure. And again, if they can get themselves to where they're about a 39-40 or 41 win team, then I think they'll have a shot at maybe getting a 6. But there's no question, I think they've got a shot to be 7 or 8 for sure, and then that gives you a better chance than 9 or 10, because you'd only have to win one play-in game to put yourself into a full series. So, you know, it's all on the table, I think, at this point. If the Warriors are going to get wins like they did tonight, Covey, yeah, then the door's still going to be open for them.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. Here's the thing. You got to look at, you know, if you are going to move up, who you chasing, who you catching, right? And the top four, that's roped off. And, you know, maybe even Denver could make a run to insert themselves into that conversation. And don't sleep on Portland. I know they're playing Dallas right now. Keeping an eye on that game. And they stole that one against the Pelicans the other night. Oh, my God. That was a crazy end to that game. But they got CJ back in the lineup. You know, he's having a decent night tonight. And I know they're hoping to get Nurkic back. Like, they're deep. They've got ballers, and they're only going to get better, it would seem, down the stretch. And Dame's just playing out of his mind. So those top six are going to be tough. I mean, where, you know, Dallas is pretty inconsistent, although they've been playing a lot better lately, too. Luka's found another gear. They're 7-3 in their last 10. The Spurs, you know, I think I could see the Spurs maybe slipping a bit down the stretch here, but you don't go far betting against Greg Popovich. So it's not even – here's the deal. The Warriors, for me, I'm not looking at what other teams are doing. Just go out there and win as many games as you can and let the chips fall where they may. Now, it could end up where, you know, some of the games that they didn't win in February maybe come back to haunt them. But still, finishing strong this year and being as many games over 500 as possible, only having to win one of the play-in games, even if you end up as a 7 or an 8 seed, whole lot better than having to win 2 as a 9 or a 10. That's a much easier path into the postseason. So that's certainly something still worth aiming for, and that's a, you know, a very achievable goal, I would think. But the West is stacked. We know that. So just try and garner as many wins as you can. Let the chips fall where they may, and then try and get your ass into the playoffs and see what you can do.
I'll say this, too. If you just look at the four play-in teams right now, Spurs, Mavs, Warriors, Grizzlies, the Warriors would have every bit of an opportunity to beat all those teams if they had to. Like, that's the one thing that I do think, you just in terms of feel. Like, if the Warriors had if a healthy Warriors team played win in your end game against San Antonio, you'd feel good about that. Against Dallas, yeah, Luka's tremendous, but you'd feel really good about that. If you had to beat the Grizzlies to get in, you'd feel good about that. I mean, tonight's a perfect example of why you'd feel good about that. You just beat them in their building without Stephen Curry. So, you know, I think that's where, you know, if it does wind up being those four teams in the play-in tournament, I think the Warriors would love their chances. I'd actually make them probably the favorite among that group of four to get one of the spots.
I agree.
Depending upon – so from that point of view – and again, that's assuming that Steph's healthy and Draymond's healthy and all of that. But if we're just ranking Warriors, Grizzlies, Spurs, Mavs, and all those teams are at their all of those teams are at their peak, if you will. The Warriors have got a better – I think they're the best team of that four.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. And here's the other thing. And I know it's, you know, been a while since we've seen him in the postseason, but Draymond Green, Steph Curry, I seem to remember those guys playing pretty well in the postseason. Hell, even Kevon Looney's had his moments in the playoffs. So I do think there is something to that, where that experience of the Golden State Warriors, you know, if you're looking for something to maybe split the difference and be the thing that gives the team the advantage, that would certainly be it. And then it really kind of depends on, you know, how they gel and how they play in the second half. It looks like there's, you know, a possibility. Certainly you hope that James Wiseman, you know, is able to develop even more the last couple of months, and you're feeling better about where his game's at. Certainly Jordan Poole, that's been a really nice surprise of late. You know, there's a lot of things that you could, if they retain Kelly Oubre through the trade deadline. So I think this team could only there's a really plausible path to this team even getting stronger as they make a push towards the playoffs. And I'm not betting against the Dubs in a one-game playoff against any one of those teams. Hell yeah, they'd be the favorite.
As far as getting to the sixth seed goes, for me, Portland is the team that you'd have to catch. You're not catching Jazz, Lakers, Suns, Clippers at this point. I think Denver is coming into their own
100%.
And becoming a team that you know, Denver for a good chunk of this year, Denver's actually been awful, and they're still 24-16. Like, and they haven't played their best ball yet. So,
right.
They got swept by the Sacramento Kings in a three. Like, they got swept. They went 0-3 against the Sacramento Kings in their season series. Like, they're going to be playing better, I think, between now and the end of the season. But as far as the Portland point, Portland's 24-16. And I just want to give this little bit of context, and then we'll get to Sam in West Oakland. We'll do who's hot, who's not, and all that. Portland's 24-16. So if Portland goes 500 the rest of the way, 500. Now, they've played better than that at this point. But if Portland goes 500 and they just got McCollum back, they're 40-32 if they go 500 the rest of the way. For the Warriors to get to 40-32, they'd have to go 18-12.
Wow.
In the final 30 games, and a tie wouldn't do it because Portland won 2 out of 3 head to head. So you'd actually have to go 19-11 if Portland's 500 the rest of the way, the Warriors would have to go 19-11 to pass them. So that, when you look at it that way, that's a tall ask.
No, that's very well stated, JD. And I'll just come out and say it here on 95.7 on these airwaves right now. The Portland Trailblazers are not going to be 500 the rest of the way. They're going to be over 500 the rest of the way. That is a very good basketball team. I mean, it's life in the Western Conference. And that's kind of, you know, with that in mind, JD, that's why I'm hollering, just bank as many wins as you can. If you can get to 40 wins, if you're the Golden State Warriors, if you can be 40-32, you can look at your season and say, we just put together a really nice season. And obviously that meant you played better in the back half than you did in the front half. So that would be certainly a big season for this team. And then you take your chances in the one-game playoff, because certainly 40-32 would be enough to get you either that 7 or the 8 spot. So that would be fine. I would take that at this point. And then you take your chances in that play-in game and then bring on, you know, whatever the Suns or, you know, the Lakers, whoever would be in that first-round series. And, you know, look, I wouldn't fancy the Warriors to win the series, but I'd certainly, you know, give them a puncher's chance to get a couple of wins and make that thing tougher than your run-of-the-mill 1-8 or 2-7. That's for damn sure.
Let's get to who's hot and who's not, as that's brought to you by Exergen, because accuracy matters. I'm going to give you the floor tonight on this one. There's a lot of great picks for who's hot, who's not. You can take 1, 2, 3 of them, and then I'll try to come up with somebody else.
All right. For who's hot tonight, I've been pounding the table for my boy. I'm going Jordan Poole. He stepped into Steph Curry's role tonight, and I love the efficiency. 25 points, but he did it on 15 shots, JD. 50% for three-point range. He's been rolling. Still need to iron out a few things defensively, but he was out there tonight to score, to help fill that void, and score he did. So I'm going Jordan Poole for tonight and just for the way he's been playing of late. A really nice stretch of basketball for Jordan Poole. He's shooting 45% from three-point range in the month of March, 54% from the floor, averaging 19 points a game while playing only 22 minutes on average during that span. That's some efficient basketball.
And I'll give the nod to Andrew Wiggins, the 14 of 24, the 6 of 11 from 3. I mean, it's just a game changer when Wiggins is knocking down threes. His 9th career 40-point game, and it's the highest scoring output during his time as a Warrior. His previous was 39. So you look at Andrew Wiggins and his season high was 28. So Wiggins has been tremendous, and so I'm gonna give a nod to him as far as who's hot. Who's not? Kent Bazemore, man. Yeah. He is struggling, and he needs to be in the rotation. Only 12 minutes tonight. Steve Kerr gave him a little 6-minute run, a little 6-6, and then kind of got him out and let some other guys play at the end of this one. But they need him, but he's struggling right now.
Yeah, and look, I think he'll come out of it, but Bazemore has been a really reliable shooter. I think actually his three-point makes were even above what was a reasonable expectation, and this is maybe water finding its level a little bit. You just can't have a bunch of guys cool off at once. It's actually coming at not the worst time for this team. Wiggins will be fine. I mean, excuse me, not Wiggins. I was looking at Wiggins. Bazemore will be fine.
Yeah, and look, the Warriors need him in the rotation, and he's been a net positive for sure for this Warriors team this season. All right, let's get to West Oakland, Sam, here before we pause, and we'll come back. We'll keep things rolling, I think, Warriors-wise. We haven't played too much sound yet.
I don't think we played any sound.
So let's get to Sam. So we got a lot of sound coming up. Sam in West Oakland, you're up here. What's up, West Oakland, Sam?
Hey, man, what's up, my brothers? How y'all doing, man? I'm just really proud of Jordan Poole tonight. I think he's a great story of somebody that that really wanted to improve himself, and he's been showing out these past couple of games, and I think he deserves what he, because at first when he came in and he had that little Markelle Fultz shot, you know, I was really curious about what he was going to be, but he had that Markelle Fultz, you know, like issue going on. And I was just really curious. It sucks that James Wiseman didn't play tonight, because I'm really anxious to see how he would look with the flow of the offense and defense that we had tonight, because I know the past couple of games he's been a negative on the plus minus. And I just would have really liked to see how he would have done. And also, is there, you know, like, given what Jordan Poole just did with himself by going to the G League, Jordan Poole or Wiseman being the number two pick, like, would it go against logic since he's the number two pick to go down to the G League?
Yes. Well, the G League season's over.
Yeah, G League's a wrap.
I mean, the G League's a wrap now for this year. And thanks for the call, Sam. We're up against it a little bit. We'll keep this conversation going on the other side, Covey. So that's really my answer to that. Now, if he's struggling next year, I mean, all things would be on the table. You don't want it to get to that point. I don't think it's going to get to that point. He needs to be playing at the NBA level and taking his lumps and learning. That's the disappointment that he couldn't be a part of it tonight for me that Sam addressed.
Yeah, 100%. And we've documented it. It sucks. Wasn't Wiseman's fault for this one, but when he comes back, he will have 28 games. That's still a good amount of time in order to turn the tide perception-wise and even performance-wise for his rookie season for James Wiseman. So don't panic. He'll be back soon enough.
All right, that'll do it for the Warriors wrap-up portion of the night. So we'll pause, we'll come back, we'll call it the final word. But I think we're still going to talk Dubs, and we got a ton of sound to play as well as the Warriors get the win 116-103 in Memphis. It's all coming up right here on your home for Warriors basketball. It's 95.7 The Game.